Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Officers responded, and when they showed up,
61-year-old Gina Gamble dressed up as a large phallic object during Saturday's No Kings protest in Fairhope.
Wait, what? Now, when I heard that, and I thought, what you mean?
What you talking about, Willis?
What you mean she dressed up as a giant? What? Stop it. No. And I will tell you that, you know, though I kind of sprang that one on you, that was how WER introduced the story last night. I just think we have to talk about it. I think this is the story that if you didn't hear it yesterday and you got to work today and you didn't know about, like, you're going to need to know about this because this has made all the rounds now. It's national news. You said what? How could it be national news? Well, in the bluntest possible terms, here's the other coverage. Ready? Just prepare yourself.
That protester, 61-year-old Gina Renee Gamble, a grandmother here in Fairhope, was wearing a giant inflatable penis costume when she was arrested and carrying a...
Come on! No! Okay, so I'll tell you how I reacted to this story. I saw it... I don't remember where I saw it first. And I thought... Oh, it's WAR. I saw it on WAR first. I was on the website. And I'm like, well, show me a picture. How bad is it? I mean, if a woman's going to get arrested by the crack team at Fairhope PD, who I do not know any of these people, okay? But if she's going to get arrested, it must have been pretty bad. Because I can imagine a giant inflatable costume that could be super vulgar or just... barely vulgar, right? I can imagine there's a lot of range here. So I did what apparently is my habit, and I went to the internet and started looking things up. Stupid history is going to get me in trouble.
We know that already.
What's going to be in my Facebook feed now? So I looked, and I found a picture. Well, the pictures at first, what I found was of the police arresting her, which the video there is she's already... in the inflatable
costume.
Outfit, on the ground, with three police officers pulling and tugging and...
trying to deflate.
De-escalate the situation. And by the way, if there's a part of you that's like, I cannot believe I listened to this show... with this 12-year-old. Yeah, I'm 12 inside. Give me a break. It's funny. Okay, so I found a picture. I think that she had posted of herself or that somebody had taken and shared, whatever. And, well, my best description, I think I did a pretty good description of this before, John, is imagine a 6 or 7 foot tall cylinder. That is, let's say, a sort of tan color, khaki color, with a little bit of a nose cone on it and a couple of large inflatable spheroids at the bottom.
Okay, so I have a theory.
And then in the middle, there's a mesh area for her face to show through.
So it's a rocket.
It's a rocket.
And below it is where all the, you know...
fuel storage.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's call them fuel balloons.
Let's do that.
Okay, so it's a rocket with fuel balloons. That's not the end of the story. It's what was on the sign.
She was arrested and carrying a sign that said, no dictators.
No.
And
our very own Andrew McKay.
There's a lot of ways you could spell the word dictator and... let's just say this wasn't the correct one.
Okay.
So, Fairhope SWAT comes out.
And they tell her take it off. She won't unsheathe the costume, so she runs away or walks away or hops away or whatever the form of locomotion can best be described as. Then they tackle her and are trying to
de-escalate
the situation, wrestle the costume from off her. And Lieutenant Shane Nolte explains to WAR.
Officers responded, and when they showed up, obviously they came across a female dressed in a large phallic blow-up costume. When they did, they basically asked her to remove the costume because it was obscene and offensive to the public.
Fully inflated.
We don't want to violate anybody's freedom of speech or their right to protest. But when you cross that line of it being obscene or disorderly behavior, then obviously that's where we're going to have to step in and take action as needed.
We're going to have to take action and deflate the problem. So, yeah, so she gets arrested for what? Resisting arrest was part of it. Disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. And then the question is, well, is it a First Amendment violation? Is it obscene or not? And we will return to this gripping conversation here in our penetrating analysis. John Pickens has got traffic on the five. John?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So if you're on 98 westbound just before the Lillian Highway Bridge, you're going to see an accident that happened earlier. It's off to the side of the road, but we're seeing no delays as of yet. Also an accident on Lillian Highway and Bower Road. Again, that one's off to the side of the road. If you are on Highway 29 southbound, just south of 9 Mile Road.
Are you looking at the text?
No, I'm listening to David, and David is just
chortling.
Okay, so I-10 eastbound between Pipe Forest and Highway 29, you're starting to see some delays in that area. David cracks me up. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the Vibes.
Oh my gosh, these texts, you people. What are you, juveniles? Andrew, was she leaning left or right in the protest? I can't read that one. The most unhinged part of all this is John saying 6-7 underneath his breath in the background. She was just excited to be at the protest. I can't even. I can't read that one. Okay, I'm gonna save this one because that's gonna be the last one of the segment. So WAR did good news reporting on this. They went and asked a lawyer, and the guy they got on was super boring. You know, for her lawyer says that police don't really know the law. It's not the prurient interest. They got another lady on, Alana Beiser, excuse me.
Being on a public sidewalk is significant to the law. Traditionally, the U.S. has seen public sidewalks as a public forum with sort of the highest level of protection for free speech.
Do you think she has a First Amendment rights violation case on her hands?
I think probably yes.
Yeah, she's going to sue them and they're going to lose. Listen, the Miller test for obscenity, in case you're not familiar with it, Miller v. California, 1973, three prongs of this test still in use today. The average person applying contemporary community standards needs to find the work taken as a whole appeals to the prurient interest. Prurient. It was not some sex act. It wasn't some demonstration. It was just the thing and also the statement. But look, people were chanting things that were worse. People had printed things that were worse. People would often do things in protests that were much worse. This is not a prurient interest. It's not, you know, nobody's looking at this costume and, you know, it doesn't work like that. That's prurient interest. It's to arouse the sexual desires, okay? The work depicts or describes in a patently offensive way sexual content or excretory functions. It doesn't. And it has to be all three, by the way, not just one or the other. It's all three. And whether the work taken as a whole lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. Political! It's political speech at the margins of acceptability it does not violate community standards, taken as a whole, arouse a prurient interest, or patently offensive. She's going to win this case. She's going to sue him, and she's going to win. I would be stunned if she doesn't win this case. So FPD, Faro PD, is going to wind up paying, or their insurance is going to wind up paying this lady because the cops thought this was a violation of First Amendment, which it's not. Yeah. 437-1620. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, they keep pouring in, man.
I'll leave you with this one. The Dan has the win for the day. He says, for costumes lasting more than 4 hours, please contact your local police department.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One of the most popular Christian hymns in the world is Jonathan Newton's Amazing Grace. And the word grace simply means unmerited favor. And grace is beautifully displayed in the cross of Jesus Christ. Grace is a step beyond mercy. Remember that mercy is withholding a penalty that you justly deserve, and of course we love mercy. However, grace is not only withholding a penalty that we rightly deserve, but grace is also giving us something that we have not earned. The fact is that we're all sinners, and the Bible says we deserve punishment for our sin. But God's grace says, here's Jesus, and he has perfectly paid your sin penalty and mine. Believe on him today. That's amazing grace.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Don Dorman and guest Dr. Fleming from Ostrinavant Health 65 Plus today at 10. This month's topic is breast cancer awareness. Ostrinavant Health 65 Plus offers customized primary care, nutrition and fitness coaching, community events, and more. Two locations in Pensacola, 9 Mile and Bellevue. Respectful, tailored, compassionate. Tune in today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
What does New South Proud mean? It means you can save 35% on windows and doors. And not just any windows and doors. We're talking New South American-made windows and doors that offer premium protection from hurricanes, intruders, and noise. And they're guaranteed for life. Get 35% off American-made windows and doors until October 31st, 2025. Call 800-NEW-WINDOWS. New South Proud! Visit newsouthwindow.com/deal for details.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Now that is a big door.
Good morning, 7:23 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news. Let's see, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
And good morning. Well, after 15 years of development, there is finally, Andrew, a new fruit hitting grocery stores this
month.
The
Dole Company has created a new fruit. It's called the Dole Colada Royale Pineapple. It was developed in Honduras, and the company says it tastes like a pina colada with hints of coconut. The research team says the fruit has a smaller core and packs 2.5 times the B6 than a regular pineapple. And if you want to try it, experts say the fruit is picked ripe, so no need to thump, squeeze, or pull top leaves. The new pineapple expected to sell for under $6. I'm Bree Tennis.
So it's coconut pineapple with no rum, and it's healthy.
Then what's the point?
Yeah. Okay.
But you can add the rum later.
All right, sure.
Yeah, no, it needs to be included.
I don't know how you do that, but you know,
modify it somehow.
I'm not sure that the internally fermented alcohol of the pineapple is what you want to drink on its own. But all right, go on, John. Or go on, David, sorry.
So the 2025 World Series is now set. The Blue Jays will take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Game one is set for Friday night.
I wanted to see the Mariners get in a World Series, and I would have loved to see the Mariners beat up the Dodgers. Man, that would have been great. But, you know, the Dodgers are going to win this series in a sweep, I think. Anyway.
And a Florida mother will not be facing charges after her 5-year-old fell overboard on that Disney cruise ship a little while back. The girl fell 50 feet through a porthole while sitting on a railing for a photo. You may remember the story. Her father jumped in, saved her, and then both were rescued by the ship's crew. Officials said the mother was negligent but not criminally responsible.
Yeah, it's a really high threshold to get to criminal negligence. It really is. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still dealing with an accident that happened on 98 westbound before the Lillian Highway Bridge. First responders are on the scene taking care of that. I'm not seeing any delays associated with that one. Just wanted you to be aware. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 starting to really slow down right now through that construction zone. And Highway 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile starting around, I'd say 10 Mile Road is seeing some slowdowns also. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, seeing our normal congestion delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. I guess you didn't do so well in Monday Night Football in your fantasy football league.
No, I actually did.
You have Jamar Gibbs on your team?
No, I had the Lions defense.
Glad I'm not a DB. Oh.
Right up the gut, there goes Gibbs. Foot race. Winfield can't get there. Touchdown, Lions.
I saw that play live.
78 yards. Yes. Oh, my God. I'm a Lions fan. I'm not a huge NFL fan at all, but I grew up in Detroit, so I always kind of secretly root for the Lions. And when they're good, it's fun. And, I mean, he's amazing. He's so good. He's the best two-man rush team in the NFL, probably. And his yards after the catch yesterday and a couple of those catches were amazing. So, yeah, it was a fun game to watch. I like the electric blue at home. I like that helmet.
Yeah, that's
jersey combination at home. Anyway, you were...
Oh, I was just going to say I was losing in my fantasy football before I went to bed. I was losing by like 5 points.
But the low-scoring offense for the Bucs.
Yes, and the defense of the Lions actually propelled me to a victory.
Oh, nice. Well done.
And even Jordan was like, how? How, John?
Even you're suddenly a Lions fan. So, all right, we'll take you. It's fine.
All right, thank you.
Let's see. 727 on News Radio 92.3. What was the other thing that I was going to tell you about? I had it right in my head, and then it went right away. So where was it exactly? Not that. I don't know. Anyway, it does. It'll come back if it's important. This is fascinating. I saw this yesterday at Alabama.com, AL.com, and I think that's where I saw it. Anyway, it was one of the Alabama sites. I pay enough attention to Alabama in case something interesting comes up. And this is one of those something interesting came up. You know how we're always talking about, in Escambia County especially, I don't know why Lifeguard doesn't have these issues so much, and Escambia does EMS, but we're always having these like frequent flyers use EMS as like a cab, or just people who are, they call EMS too much, okay? And then we wind up not being able to collect money, and it winds up, it costs us some, but it definitely costs us in our bad debt write-offs. This is a big problem. The people who overuse, inappropriately use EMS, and that stresses the system so that real, you know, important calls get, you know, have to maybe get sidelined a little bit because they're responding to alphas and bravos. And once you pick somebody up, you can't drop them off. Like, there are all kinds of rules. Alabama, this is really interesting. There's a new pilot program in Mobile. They have the same problem. And what they're doing is they're spending $1 million to give iPads to the 70 most frequent abusers of the system people who have been transported to the hospital 10 or more times. And basically, they're going to give 50 of these people iPads with direct 24/7 video connection to AltaPoint clinicians who can communicate with them about their mental health. It's often mental health needs, in hopes of reducing the non-emergency calls. They're doing this for a six-month pilot program. It's going to begin within the next 30 days. The highest number of transports to the hospital for one single patient so far this year is, John, you want to take a stab at this?
12.
165.
What?
They've had a person transported to the hospital once a day, basically.
How do you even pay for that?
They don't. They can't.
Oh, wow.
But you can't say no.
But I guess that's a good way to get an iPad.
Well, compared to 194 last year, they had somebody at this point in the year. So there are a handful of people that are really stressing the system. That adds up to a lot. So it's going to cost Mobile about $500,000 to take 40 repeat callers to the hospital 10 or more times. It doesn't even get half of that back in reimbursement. So they're saying, let's try this and see if it works. I thought it was an interesting idea. I mean, it does feel a little bit like rewarding the problem people, but you're rewarding them now. Maybe you can reward them in a more effective way, you know, through a sort of digital telehealth sort of thing where they get, you know, before they call an ambulance, they get on the iPad and they talk to somebody and they can work through it with them. Look, if it saves the community money, and I'm saying, Escambia County, pay attention. This is a very interesting program. I don't know if it'll work, but let's watch.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Day 21 of the government shutdown. President Trump will have lunch with Republican senators, including Wyoming's John Barrasso, who joined Fox and Friends.
I expect the president to say, stand strong. What we're seeing here are the Democrats practicing the politics of pain.
Vice President J.D. Vance in Israel to help keep the fragile Gaza ceasefire from falling apart. The Louvre in Paris remains closed.
Priceless amount of French crown jewels and jewelry, tiaras, bracelets, diamonds, pearls, gold, silver, now in the hands of thieves. French President Macron has stated this is an attack on French history and the culprits would be found. Others say it's a sign of lack of security and a sorry state of this country.
That's Fox's Greg Palcott outside the museum. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 59 degrees. It's partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Of course, we'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Some Perdido Key residents expressing frustration over beach access number one, which some people say resembles a bit of a police buffer zone. The News Journal reporting that deputies... patrol cars and boundary tape were common sights during the tourist season there. They separated the public access and private condo properties. Many felt that was a bit unwelcoming, with complaints about beach umbrellas and chairs blocking access to the waterline. Longtime visitors and residents advocating for a new county ordinance to allow public activities like walking and fishing on the dry sand areas of that beach. They argue that recent legislative changes could present an opportunity for more public access. There's a mediation in the Perdido Key case set for this month. Federal Highway Authority showing interest in the potential replacement of the Navarre Beach Causeway Bridge. Santa Rosa County commissioners are hoping that could lead to funding for a new bridge. Federal officials requested a 2021 feasibility study that indicates a shift in interest compared to previous years. Commissioner Ray Eddington recently reported federal officials expressed a willingness to assist with funding during a trip to Washington, D.C. The bridge was built back in 1960. It's been deemed structurally obsolete. It's critical for traffic flow to Hurlburt Field, where traffic congestion has been cited as a military readiness issue. An estimated cost to replace that bridge exceeds $100 million. A custodian at Blue Angels Elementary School in Escambia County has been arrested on charges related to attempting to lure a child for sexual conduct. FDLE says 56-year-old Chad Wren has been charged with obscene communication to seduce a child, attempting to travel to meet a child, and using a two-way device to facilitate a felony. Wren's currently being held in the Escambia jail on $30,000 bond. He's resigned from his position as a janitor at the school. Escambia County Public Schools reassured parents that the safety of students is their primary concern and said appropriate actions have already been taken. Well, an online gaming company is being accused of enabling child predators. Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer announcing yesterday that he's issuing criminal subpoenas to Roblox. He said that platform's become a breeding ground for predators that are trying to access our kids. He says that he'll stop at nothing in the fight to protect Florida's children. Senator Rick Scott continuing to ask questions about how a wildfire in California was handled. Scott sent a letter yesterday to the city council in Los Angeles as part of a congressional investigation into the Pacific Palisades fire. Scott and his colleagues are looking for records related to their wildfire preparedness and emergency response efforts. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, experiencing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. Also, Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, you're going to see about a 9 to 11 minute delay. And let's see here, Highway 29 southbound just north of 10 Mile. And traffic is backed up for a while there. So that's about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We do have a beautiful day in store for you today. Plenty of sunshine starting off in the 50s, getting into the low 80s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 79. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 53. Keeping the sunshine around on Thursday with a high near 79 degrees, and by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 56. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 60 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Netflix's $120 billion stock market rally this year faces a crucial test today, proving that its costly investments into advertising and video gaming can support the growth that made the streaming pioneer a Wall Street darling. A strong content slate, including K-pop Demon Hunters, Netflix's most successful movie ever, and the second season of Wednesday are expected to power the company's fastest revenue increase in more than 4 years. Counterpoint Research says Apple's shares rallied 4% after the iPhone 17 series outsold the iPhone 16 series in China and the U.S. within the first 10 days of availability. The company launched the iPhone 17 series back in September. The Senate has failed for the 11th time to advance a House passed measure to fund the government and end the ongoing shutdown, which has been taking place since October 1st. Futures are mixed amid a big earnings week. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 515. That's Your Money Now.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season. Hey, Pensacola. Get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we have in our studio, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons, the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back to the show. Good to have you, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're having way too much fun this morning. There are a lot of silly things going on in the world, and it's super entertaining. First question for you, the fair. How's the fair been going?
The fair's been going very well. I was over there last night, a second time. I don't go there every day, but I was there last night. The weather was nice. I'm a fair weather fair type fair goer. It was very
fair weather fair goer.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. If it's cool enough, I can get
going
over
to
there.
Get your salad for lunch. Is that what you're?
Yeah, yeah. No, salads aren't meals. Remember. I can tell you what is a meal.
All right.
You know, turkey legs.
Yeah, turkey legs is a good one.
They got in there. They got these spiral potato things. They're pretty good. Those, you can make a meal if you eat enough of those.
Oh, yeah. And the way Mama Jane makes them, a funnel cake is a meal.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a funnel cake kind of guy. Yeah, you know, I don't want to waste room in my stomach with that kind
what?
Of stuff. I'm a grown boy. I need real food.
Nope. Coke. All right. I just learn stuff all the time. Anyway, how is security at the fair going?
Well, I talked to a lot of the deputies. They haven't had any problems. You know, you got a little bit of arguments here and there, but mm-hmm. as I understand, no arrests have been made. We haven't had any issues with the fair's decision to not allow open carry or concealed mm-hmm. carry. There were some issues with people not reading the instructions online about what bags to bring and not to bring.
Because they have clear bags as a rule now, right?
There's a clear bag rule. So there's that, but you know, that's to be expected, I suppose.
Do people really bring bags to the fair?
Well, I mean, I guess for kids and wallets and keys, purses, and I guess people that carry purses, yeah.
Okay. Couple of stories. Let's see. You've got the guy that I will name is Jeffrey Birdwell, 42-year-old. You would recognize the picture because he's the guy with all the face tattoos. Like, more than you have ever seen on a human being before, he's got. So
yeah,
basically, this
up.
Side of Jim Rose Circus, you've never seen so many face tats.
Well, and the bigger problem with him, besides the face tattoos, is that he is a sexual offender and he hasn't fulfilled his obligations to register. And so we're looking for him. We are looking for him, as I understand it. And we put his picture out. Like you said, go and take a look at it. You will recognize this bozo if you see him.
So he's required a mandatory report. He has not done that, and you're just looking for him for that. Not some other crime, but the mandatory reporting check-in kind of
thing. That's correct. But we take those mandatory reports very serious because people need to know. And there's a website that documents where all these sexual offenders live, and so you can know. You can take a look at your neighborhood, and so you understand who's living in your area. Now, if you haven't looked at FDLE site on these registered sex offenders and it's terrifying, quite frankly, the number of people have these.
Well, you can look at you can get the map. Passed. You pull up the map and within the vicinity of your house, and you think, good gravy, and it distinguishes between what the blue and the red, the offenders,
predators
and the vile predators,
right.
Right? And none of it's good, but you can pull up the details, and it's a scary. I mean, go look, but it's not a pleasant thing to look up. The FDLE case with Chad Wren, the custodian at the Blue Angels Elementary, allegations of obscene communications to a child and so forth. He's now quit his job, but you guys are not involved in that case, right?
We're involved in a task force, but FDLE spearheaded that.
Okay,
that particular
so that's not really you guys. Okay. Any other incidents over the last week? It's been relatively calm, as these things go. Sometimes we come and there's 10, and this week we had, not that many.
We had an accidental shooting overnight. Someone actually shot themselves in the hand. We talk about this. Only reason
all the
I bring
time.
It up is
yeah.
because we talk about it. These things happen way too frequently.
Yeah.
And our fear initially was that with open carry, more people will carry. And that's why we encourage people to be familiar with a gun, be familiar with a holster and the way you carry. So, we had, it probably had nothing to do with open carry, but We did have an individual accidentally shoot her hand. So if they heard about a, or they saw on our website and on our app that there was a shooting victim, it was an individual.
Okay.
Accidental shooting.
And they're cooperating. This is a straightforward case, not anything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, one of the ones that, because we had one recently, an individual got shot. I think I may have mentioned it to you before, that ended up getting shot in the chest over in DeVoe Way, I believe it was. And ran away and survived. He survived, and then he said, "Hey, we'll let you know whenever if I want to cooperate.
If I need to help
but
you.
But that's not the
figure
case.
Figure out who shot me.
It's an accidental discharge."
Have you had very many? Do you see many people open carrying? I don't see anybody open carrying in Escambia County. Do you see many? Have you had many calls from businesses or anything? Or
no.
People just worried about it?
No. I've seen some other counties have some people that are what they call Second Amendment auditors.
Mm-hmm. Doing it to see.
They will test the government authority. Yeah. But I haven't seen anyone here in Escambia County. And perhaps it's because my take on it is you can carry open. You can, it's a more plain language interpretation of the Constitution versus whatever statute that was in existence before this DCA ruling.
John tells me that 200% of the people in Milton are all carrying multiple weapons all the time. So it's just
200%?
200%.
He's not a math major.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's an accountant.
Oh,
well,
maybe they have more than one gun.
That's exactly right. Let's go to him for traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Just one accident on the books right now. Let's see here. At Pine Forest Road and Wild Lake Boulevard, we're seeing some delays in that area. And also I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, seeing about a 12 to 15 minute construction congestion delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I got a question here. Let's see. Somebody says, please ask the sheriff what the nuisance abatement vans are around the fairgrounds. Does that ring any bells for you?
Yeah. A couple years ago, we've been having some situations where people in neighborhoods were complaining about people doing drugs, and we were forward to our narcotics, but it wasn't enough. We couldn't get probable cause to mm-hmm. determine that they were doing it and do a search warrant. So other agencies in the South, I noticed they had these vans, and they weren't secret vans. They were just, I think they called them nuisance abatement as well. And I thought, you know what, we have some older vans that we're going to cycle out of circulation. Why don't we put some cameras in those? Why don't we park those and have it feed right into our real-time crime center? And so we had one van that was so popular, we had to get another van, and now we
okay,
have,
so these are the spy vans.
It's those, yeah. The spy
okay.
is kind of hard because it's got
it's
red
not
lettering
secret.
All
right.
over it.
I mean, it's the surveillance
with
vans, 20 right.
cameras in each van. We started them at the beach also, and now we're using as many cameras as we can at the Pensacola Interstate
Got
Fair.
It, okay.
We have hundreds of thousands of people going through this. So we have our portable or our mobile video platforms that can telescope up.
Right.
But then we also have our drone unit out there, and we also have these nuisance abatement vans. There's no nuisance that we're aware of. It's the use of the cameras and all these cameras can feed into our real-time crime center.
So it's preventative, it's precautionary, it's having things. It's easier to have things available rather than wish you'd had them after the fact. Okay.
Right. Right.
Oh, by the way, apparently buying funnel cakes for the sheriff is going to be the new sport for my listeners, judging by the text. So just don't be surprised if that happens. You can always bring them by the station. Okay, you guys had some interesting drug data come in, right? Which it's hard to call it good news because anything other than zero is bad news. But you've had some interesting data that actually seems to indicate that things are getting better. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a report here that came out from the what's called 2024 Annual Drugs and Deceased Persons Annual Report. And what it showed was these are statewide numbers, and these are the latest that we have. And the information based on late of 2024, again, these things take a while to trickle in, that opioid-caused deaths decreased by 32%, fentanyl-caused deaths decreased by 35%. And I would tell you that those
that's
numbers
statewide
are,
or Escambia
that's
County?
Statewide.
Okay.
Now, as I understand it, the latest look that I had was that Escambia actually had a greater than in the 30s reduction in opioid-related deaths. As you know, we're part of this. We took advantage of this SAFE grant, which is a state fentanyl mm-hmm. eradication grant, and fentanyl has been our top priority with regards to our enforcement efforts. And we've been partnering with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and that's where I got these stats from, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And, while, like you said, let's say it's the great news, the reduction is good news. One is too many, obviously,
right.
but things are trending in the right direction. It's better than having spikes in these types of things. But we're very aware that we've got a long way to go.
I'm working entirely on memory here, but I had it in my head that Escambia County was about somewhere between one a day and one and a half a day, like 300 to 500 a year, people were dying from fentanyl opioid overdoses. Because I had in my head that when the CORE program came in, the county's doing
right,
that it made a huge dent in that because we got people basically onto treatment that makes them not want, not enjoy drugs, and they're choosing that. What do you think is the explanation for the reduction? Is it? I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities here. There's, you know, the interdiction stuff is working, arrests are working, demand is down because people are on the CORE program. Honestly, addicts die, so there are fewer people to die because there are fewer people using anymore. I mean, there's all kinds of possible explanations here. Do you have anything that you particularly identify as the reason this is down? Maybe use is down because people are smarter. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think that you know, there's this multi-pronged approach. There's the letting people know. When we do our Blazer Academy, I make sure that those kids know fentanyl will kill you and you do not know what drugs you're taking.
Yeah.
I take every opportunity to let people know. So there's education factor. I think that our enforcement efforts have paid huge dividends. I mean, there are people that are doing that are in prison now because they've contributed to the decline in the community with regards to overdose deaths. I think the federal authorities have taken a much harsher stance on it. I have to say that closing the borders will probably end up doing something with regards to the amount of fentanyl that's coming into our country. The CORE program, as you mentioned, I happen to have some stats on that. They helped over 400 people locally, and that has contributed to a 68% drop in overdose deaths since 2023.
Yeah, it's a great program.
Again, that's all these things combined. This is what happens whenever people get together, and this is a huge problem. And it sometimes we as a people are slow on the uptick there. But I think that once we got a hold of all this and seeing what was taking place, I think that everything in combination is certainly what's helping out.
You make me think of maybe an odd question, but that's how my brain works. I remember years ago we used to have meth labs.
Right.
And people would blow themselves up and they would do all kinds of, you know, and then they would do these kind of shake and bake labs. They'd do them in cars, all this kind of stuff. And then I remember talking with you about this a couple of years ago that we basically had stopped seeing that because the cartels had gotten in the business of making, you know, real meth labs in Mexico or elsewhere. And it was so much cheaper and they would just, you know, smuggle it across the border. And so you wouldn't have that made domestically. And so that was the situation. Bad because meth use was up, but also in a way weirdly good because people weren't, you know, doing meth labs locally. But with the border control stuff that's been going on, have you seen a change back to the old? Is it harder for them to get meth in because of that? Are you seeing more of it being domestically produced? Is this, I mean, did you get the question? I don't know if it's
absolutely. I will tell you that in the past, because of the meth labs, let me start with crack cocaine was a big issue.
Sure.
And then we really hit crack cocaine pretty hard. And then meth was an issue. We used to have our own meth labs. We had people trained to go into meth labs because they were so commonplace. Since then, we've basically stopped.
You had your own
meth
chemists, analysts.
Yeah. We had people that would go in there.
Got it. Okay.
That would handle the
technicians or whatever you want to call them, specialists.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of it now, but basically, it's people that get suited up and they go into these meth labs and they take care of them.
Okay.
You know, they collect the evidence and that sort of thing.
Got it.
So we don't fund that anymore because.
It left the country.
It's very expensive, and we just don't see them. We would call FDLE or we'd call someone else for it now. So it is a conversation that we're having. As you mentioned, if they're not getting it from across the border, then they're going to probably start making it again. Or they could. Nate probably is kind of a strong word. But they may well decide to make it in the kitchen sinks again.
Right.
And that's something that we're very aware of. I mean, we try to keep track of these trends and try to stay ahead of them. Obviously, it's very difficult because these, you know, the analogs and stuff associated
right.
with various drugs, but we're working very well with the Attorney General on staying ahead of the trends, and it's at this point we're seeing some improvements.
Last question for you, and I just bring this to your attention because you may not have seen the story. Mobile police officers, I guess Mobile has gotten some deal on iPads because their EMS is using iPads to do the frequent flyers to try to get them not to take an ambulance. But the police department has iPads they're using to connect mental health clinicians to people who are previously likely to get arrested for petty crime, like loitering. And they say 72% of those individuals are brought to the crisis center for help by law enforcement instead of going to jail. I don't know if that's a program you've heard about or if there's anything like that that you guys have considered trying or if that's even an ongoing problem in our county. But again, I thought it was kind of innovative, a way to use technology to, it's not quite the what do you call it, the when the court system moves them out of the courts into, you know, diversion.
Drug court.
It's not diversion, yeah. But it's sort of in that thinking model.
It's proactive. I don't know exactly what they're doing. I can tell you that we have a mental health unit, as we talked about, mm-hmm. with the internal aspect, but also we have a partnership with Lakeview where we have clinicians that actually go with us, and what they'll do some proactive work as well, and they'll respond to potential Baker Act calls, and again, as someone gets transitioned out of the Baker Act facility, then they will help us and work with us. So we do gather that information. They do proactive screening of individuals that might be that might not keep their medication on hand,
right.
might not be able to take their medication, or might not be willing to take their medication. So we do some of that. I'd have to take a look at and see what Mobile's doing. Are you talking about? Not every deputy. They just have the clinicians that are working with that.
It seems to be they've identified a target population that they think this will help with or work with, and I don't know a lot of details, but I thought it was interesting, and I wanted to bring it to your attention. So,
well, I mean, mental health is certainly a very big big factor. We talk about where we're kind of slow on the uptake on some of these things, and some of that I would say that not just law enforcement, but as a community. The mental health aspect of things, and people have no idea how many people that we encounter every day that they're going through some sort of a crisis or mental health episodes.
And I think in both of these cases, both MPD and their EMS are both like the iPad is only usable for this one application. Like it's totally locked into that one application. It's not like you can use it for everything else. Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for what you do, keeping us informed, entertained, telling us you don't like funnel cakes. We'll still be friends.
That's not that I don't like them. I'm just,
you said what you said.
There's other things.
Don't backtrack now.
You've seen all the food in there.
I know.
So there's no salads. I'll stay with that. But for meals, as a side salad.
Yeah,
only.
The carnival, the fair salad booth is the least, all organic food right here, baby.
No one's there.
Nobody's there. Sheriff, thanks for the time.
You bet. Y'all take care.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on Highway 90 southbound headed toward Pensacola, you're going to see maybe an 11 to 12 minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 29 southbound just south of 9 Mile is backed up all the way to I-10, so just be aware of that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
If you've got a kid who is struggling with math, and especially like if they used to be good, but maybe they're not as happy anymore, it could have been a teacher, it could have been a new complex problem, whatever. People should be able to enjoy math and do well at it. It's a very important skill for because the farther they go in school, the worse it gets if you don't get these things fixed. I've got dear friends who own the local Mathnasium franchise, and they are fantastic. They love math. They love teaching kids math. And the basic premise of Mathnasium is that it's not like this big, unapproachable thing. It's really just a couple of building blocks. And if you're missing one or one never got quite developed properly, that's going to impair you the whole time through school. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go get a free assessment. Just stop in, and the kids will they'll take a test. And it'll help the folks at Mathnasium identify where are the problems, what can they work on, and then they can work with you on a plan. They take Step Up money, okay? The assessment is completely free. They take Step Up money, and they can work with you. Great. The kids can like math again, can enjoy it, and most importantly, of course, be good at it. Next to the Marshalls in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport, or look them up online at mathnasium.com.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi, but you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction, 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
Details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us tomorrow, 10 o'clock, on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola knows the Blue Angels.
The Blue Angel, vertical.
We feel the thunder. We look to the sky.
But the stories behind the blue and gold, those are just as breathtaking. Were they ever known as the Blue Lancers? Did air show lore really include dogfights with Japanese Zeros? And what happened the day Fat Albert became a hero over open water? Join us for The History of the Blue Angels, a special series that climbs through the myths, the milestones, and the moments that made America's Flight Demonstration Squadron a legend. Weekdays at 6:15 a.m. and 4:15 p.m. Now through November 14th, presented by our partners at Dale's Marine Construction, your Shoreline Solution Company, and Lambert's Moving Systems, moving the Gulf Coast forward for over 100 years. It's The History of the Blue Angels every weekday morning at 6:15 and afternoons at 4:15, right here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Homie, don't play that.
7:59, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a quick headline from David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Amazon Web Services says they have now fixed that big internet outage that was disrupting all sorts of websites and apps yesterday. Multiple web services, Venmo, Microsoft Outlook, Zoom, Snapchat, Lyft, Amazon Alexa, Ring, all affected by that, including a lot of fast food apps.
No Roblox.
Listen on air.